Just after the collapse of the Twin Towers, the Federal Emergency Management Agency put out a call to its national network of volunteer search and rescue teams. Many of the responding teams brought search dogs.
This wasn't medicine in a clean hospital. This wasn't your typical clinical setting. This was down and dirty deployment, and these dogs needed to work.
The dogs also needed care. New Hampshire veterinary surgeon Lori Gordon was among those who provided it. And it was at Ground Zero that she met Mark Foster, leader of Massachusetts Task Force 1, Urban Search and Rescue.
So, Lori, we brought our own cots and blankets and showers and everything, but you just went down in a car with two people. Where did you stay?
Well, the first 3 days I was at the Javits Center. That's where most of the urban search and rescue canines were housed, along with their teams. The vet tech and I set up the field hospital. We were up for 3 days, pretty much straight through, taking care of the dogs when they came back from their 12-hour searches. That's their shift time. They intermittently go up in the pile looking for people. They would come back with sore paws, cut paws, dehydrated. Most of the cuts were on their pads, and the canines don't work on the pile with any booties. They work beer pod because they navigate incredible debris and rubble, cement and rebar and glass. So they need their paws, and we would glue, staple, and suture whatever we could to get those paws so they could use them for another 12-hour shift. And they would come back very tired, and once we got down to our shifts at Ground Zero, you could see that the dogs would get depressed because they weren't finding anybody. This is their game. Find the person, get the toy. And if they weren't finding anyone, they don't get their toy. So myself and others actually hid for the dogs in some bushes or places outside of Ground Zero, and the handlers would send their dogs out to find us, and then they could get their reward so they would feel better.
Well, I remember Mark Aliberti and his dog Moxie. When Moxie would find something that was a person but it wasn't live, his tail would go down because he knew we couldn't bark because he'd be doing something wrong. But all the handlers knew the body language of the dogs, and by day two, they were getting very good at reading their dogs.
Uh-huh.
It was a little discouraging, but yeah. Very, very busy.
As busy as it was, whenever they would find a fireman who had been lost, all the noise stopped, and they would bring them out covered by a flag with an honor guard. It would pass by, and then we go back to what we were doing.
So does it feel like 10 years?
No. My days there are as crystal clear to me right now as if I had just come back. Every moment seeing all those bucket lines and hearing all those generators and smelling all that dust, seeing the dogs work at the World Trade Center, what they had to do, what they went through. Tremendous respect for not only the canines, but the handlers who trained them. I remember Mark Aliberti came with Moxie. Moxie had cut her paw. And he said, "Hey, Doc, can you fix up my dog? We got to get back out there." He said, "I went to see some other vet, and they said I couldn't work anymore. Can you help me?" I said, "Absolutely." So I fixed up the paw. I said, "This is going to get you through a shift or two. And if it fails, come back and see me, and I'll fix you up again so you can work again." He said, "Thanks, Doc. You know what it is. You get it. I'll be back."
That was veterinarian Lori Gordon speaking with Mark Foster, leader of Massachusetts Task Force 1 Urban Search and Rescue at headquarters in Beverly. The dog they referred to, Moxie, is now 13 years old and retired. To hear more about Moxie's work at the World Trade Center and to see a slideshow from 9/11, you can go to our website, radioboston.org.
Up next, Pulitzer Prize-winning arts critic Sebastian Smee will be here to talk about what to expect from Boston's visual arts scene this fall. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.